So we're continuing in our series in Romans today. We're starting on chapter 13 today. And we're reading Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. So Kylie, if you could put that scripture up on the screen for me. Thank you. So Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So picture this. Memorial Day 2025, just a month ago, Central Park, a horse-drawn carriage suddenly breaks loose. The bridle slips. The horse, a large gelding named Shadow, panics. In moments, what was a peaceful ride becomes chaos. The carriage careens down the path, driverless, passengers screaming, bystanders scattering. Dust and debris fill the air. One driver risks his own safety, sprinting alongside, trying to seize the reins and bring the carriage under control. This actually happened. Can you imagine the chaos that was going on? The fear for the people on that carriage? Do you ever feel that life gets kind of that way? That you feel like you're on that carriage and it's just completely out of control. Our world feels that way sometimes. There's political tensions and cultural change, and people are afraid of many different things. Everything feels like it's just racing ahead out of control. And so people ask, who's holding the reins? Who's in control here? And Paul reminds us here in Romans chapter 13, there is no authority except from God. Now, this doesn't call us to blind trust or passive acceptance. It calls us to faithful confidence. Even when authority seems broken, even when we disagree, God is still holding the reins. So today we ask, what does it look like to trust God with the reins? So Paul begins in the first two verses of our chapter. He says that those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Now the word that Paul uses here for instituted, it means ordered. It doesn't necessarily mean endorsed. Right? God is sovereign over the systems that he has put in place, but he's not naive about corruption. We know that not all rulers act the way God would want them to act, but Paul tells us that they've been placed there by his authority. We can look down through history and we can list all kinds of individuals and regimes who were incredibly corrupt and evil. God does not endorse that kind of evil. Now, Paul is writing to Rome, and we know that in that day, Rome had a huge, vast empire that included Israel. That the Israelites were under Roman rule. In fact, one of the desires that Jesus' disciples had was that he would rise up and become a military king that would expel Rome, and that they would no longer be under Roman rule. So Paul, as he's writing this, he's very much aware of the Roman Empire and the way that the Roman Empire governs. And even under this flawed system, Paul tells us that God has instituted authority. It doesn't mean that governments always do good, but it does mean that God is always in control. Have you ever had a time in your life when you felt out of control? Probably all of us can answer yes to that, right? There are times when life gets messy, life gets scary, and we don't know what's happening. I've said before many times that I look back on my life, and there are times where at the time, I had no clue what was going on. And I would be asking, God, why? Why is this happening? Why am I going through this? And some of those things I look back on now, and I go, oh, I see what you're up to. And some of those I don't. Some of those I still don't understand. But God was in control through all those things. He continued to watch over me and provide for me, even if it wasn't the way I wanted. Even if I didn't get what I thought I was supposed to get, or things didn't work out the way I wanted them to, he was still in control and working in and through my life. He does that even when we feel things are out of control. Paul continues in verses 3 through 5. He says that trusting God with the reins, it means that we have to practice wise submission. And submission isn't always about agreement, but the submission that Paul's talking about, it's about witness. People are watching. Now, when governments do what they're designed to do, they promote good behavior. When they do what they're designed to do, they're bringing the good of the citizens of their township and their county and their state and their nation. They design laws for our protection. We talked about this in the children's message, right? That some laws are there for our safety, some are there just for order. And when government works well, those things all make sense. And there's many laws, even though you might not agree with everything that our government does, there's many laws that you go, yeah, I'm glad that law is there because it provides order and it provides safety. I'm really glad that we have four-way stops and that people know how to use them. Because if not, we'd be running into each other all over the place. Right? I think the road is the best place to see this illustration, right? If we didn't have rules of how we drive, have any of you ever been in a foreign country where they didn't pay as much attention to the rules as we do here? I went to Haiti 6 or 7 years ago, and we piled ourselves into the back of a truck and took 3 hours to go 20 miles. And it was absolute chaos. The side of the road we were on had two lanes going our direction and two lanes going the other direction, and all the traffic on our side stopped, so they just went on the other side and drove into oncoming traffic. And then eventually they got to a point where that caused a big traffic jam, and then we were all just stuck sitting there. And they just didn't pay any attention. And it was a complete mess. And so many of the rules and the laws that we have are there to provide order and safety. And we appreciate those rules. And Paul is telling us that he wants us to obey the authorities because it's important to our witness. We don't want to be known as Christians as those who go, I'm a member of God's kingdom, so I don't have to be subject to any other authority. I don't have to follow the rules because I just answer to God and nobody else. In some ways, that's true. But he's saying, for our witness, for us to show the world that we are here to promote good things, that we obey the authority, follow the rules, that we do the things. It's all about our witness, ability. Sometimes trusting God means stepping back from our rights in order to promote our witness. That's hard for us, isn't it? I deserve this, or this is my right. I have the right to do this or this or this. And Paul says, okay, you do have the right to do that. But what does that say to those other people about who you are and about the God that you serve? Is that honoring to the God that you serve, or are you just trying to honor yourself and promote your own ideas? How often do we find ourselves in an argument trying to prove that we're right, and we end up acting in a way that we know doesn't honor God? Paul is saying, honor these rules, honor the authority, because it helps our witness. So Paul, who's writing this, we know that even though he's saying respect the authorities, we know that this doesn't mean blind trust, because we've seen in Paul's own life that he didn't always do exactly what the authorities said. So is that inconsistent with what he's saying here? I don't think so. So he says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. But he didn't blindly obey every earthly ruler or law. Right? Think about his early days as a believer. Right? He started out as a Jew persecuting Christians. He's on the road to Damascus. He has an experience with God, and he begins to preach the gospel. And he's boldly preaching in Damascus, and soon the local authorities in Damascus are not happy. And they want to arrest Paul. Not only arrest him, they want to put him to death. And so what does he do? Some friends hide him, and they lower him outside the city wall in a basket so he can escape from those authorities. Sometimes the authorities act in direct opposition to what God has called us to do. Paul didn't surrender to that. He didn't simply obey corrupt commands, but he fled. He ran. And it wasn't defiance just for defiance's sake. Paul wasn't rejecting authority itself. He was trusting a higher authority. There are times when the authority that we have, the government authority or in our lives, ask us to do things that are contrary to God's law, that ask us to do things that don't align with who God is and who he's called us to be. And in those times, we have a choice. And Paul has given us examples in his life when he didn't obey the government. And that's a call for us too. When rulers fail, when systems break down, when laws are twisted against justice, God's people don't mirror the failure. We reflect the kingdom. Like Paul, we trust the one who guides us. We listen for his voice above all the noise. We want to be aligned with God's will first and foremost. Paul continues in verses 6 and 7, and he says that when rulers fail, God still calls us to reflect his kingdom. We know that government is meant to promote good and to promote justice. And when it doesn't, Christians don't surrender their ethics. We live them louder. Faithful submission includes paying taxes, honoring authority, pulling over when you see the blue and red lights in your rearview mirror, but never at the cost of compromising Christ's command to love. If there's one thing that we see in the overarching arc of Scripture, over and over and over again, we are commanded to love. To love our neighbor, to love our brother, to love our enemy. And we can never compromise that message. The early church in the New Testament, they resisted the emperor worship. One of the key markers in the Roman government was that Romans were commanded to bow to the emperor, to worship the emperor. The emperor was like a god in the Roman society. And so, citizens of Rome were expected to worship the emperor. And the early Christians did not do that. They did what they could. They paid their taxes, they followed the rules as much as they could, but they would not go to the level of worshiping someone other than God. There's so many examples we have of this in the Old Testament, right? Imagine standing in David's shoes. He had been anointed king, but Saul was still on the throne, and Saul was trying to kill David. Because Saul knew that David had been appointed king, and he thought if he could kill David, then he could stay on the throne. And there were times when David had an opportunity to take Saul out. And what did he do? He resisted. He didn't do it. He said, "I will not raise my hand against God's anointed." So he was resisting Saul's leadership. But there were limits to that too. He said, "I will not raise my hand against God's anointed." Other examples. In Exodus chapter 1, the Pharaoh gives the command to kill all the male babies under 2 years old. And the Hebrew midwives disobey that command. And because of that, Moses was saved and others. Daniel was commanded to stop praying, but he continued. Think of Elijah and King Ahab. Ahab led Israel into darkness, worshiping Baal, persecuting the prophets. Elijah could have just shrunk back and said, "Okay, we're going to go along with this," but instead he speaks truth to King Ahab. He wants to reject that and push Israel back towards God, the Lord God of Israel. That thread runs through all these stories, that when rulers fail, and they will, and they do, God's people are still called to reflect his kingdom. We're called to mirror his justice, his mercy, and his truth, no matter who sits on the earthly throne. I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know here, but in our world, leaders will disappoint us, right? We talk about it all the time, that those people in Washington, you can't trust any of them, right? Doesn't matter who's in charge, know that they're not always working for us, and they will fail us. But what do? Like David and Elijah and others, we are not defined by the failure of earthly rulers. We are defined by the king that we serve. When rulers fail, God still calls us to reflect his kingdom with our words, our actions, love. So thinking back to that runaway horse carriage and the chaos that created, and the chaos that we often see in our world, who is holding the reins? Paul's message here is for us to trust the one who holds the reins, to remember that God is in control, that God is always on the throne, and we follow him at all times. So I want you to ask yourselves a couple of questions this week. Number one, where am I trying to take the reins away from God? Where am I trying to be in control and not allowing God to speak into that area of my life? Number two, I be called to resist, not in anger, but in love. Sometimes we're called to resist. Do so in love. And where can I embody faithful presence? Even if we don't agree with what's going on, where can we embody faithful presence and be a witness of God's power? The world watches. The world watches how we respond. Let's be a people who live as if God truly holds the reins, because we know he does. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this word. We thank you so much for the fact that even in the chaos, even when things feel out of control, or they feel like they're going in a direction that we don't want to go, God, that you still hold the reins. God, help us to trust you in all that we do. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.